It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11, to take your calls, your questions, comments, talk about the world, give you a second opinion on what's happening on the planet. When it comes to your money, the number here in the studio is 404-872-0750. You can also call us 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm fresh back from a cooler place in the world, temperature-wise at least. A slower place. Michigan. Northern Michigan. Average temperature about 72 this past week. 72 sounds good when it's 97 outside in Hotlanta. Can't wait for the fall. Just can't wait for the fall here. Anyway, let's go. Let's see here. Grease, season 3. Google adds 60, how much did they add this week? Just an unbelievable amount of money to their over $65 billion. $65 billion was the change in market capitalization this week in Google. Up in one day, that's just one day. 16.5% in one day. They added $65 billion to their market cap. They are now a $478 billion company. That's about a half a trillion dollars if we were rounding. 2014 total GDP in Greece, as we talk a lot more about Greece than we do Google, was $238 billion. So that puts Greece at double the size of the total GDP. I'm sorry, that puts Google double the size of the GDP of Greece. How about that? Greece as a country is number 45 on the global GDP list. Hence, Google is two times as large in market cap than the 45th largest economy on the planet. Isn't that amazing? And wait till I go through some of these countries when it comes to GDP. I think it's important to remember the ranking. So I'll go through some of these quickly. U.S. is, of course, number one at $18 trillion. Number two, if you took the whole EU, it'd be $16.5 trillion. So the whole EU is still a little bit smaller than U.S. So number two on the list of individual countries, China, at about $11.2 trillion. Japan, a distant third at $4.2 trillion. Germany, number four on the planet, $3.4 trillion. UK, $2.8 trillion. France, $2.5 trillion. India, $2.3 trillion. Brazil, in at number eight at $1.9 trillion. And then Italy, $1.8 trillion as their GDP for number nine. Number 10 on the planet as a country, as far as economic output, is Canada, $1.6 trillion. This was interesting to me. Russia comes in at a distant 15th at $1.1 trillion total economic output for that gigantic landmass that is Russia. So the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. I wanted to continue a call from Mary in Westchester. I'm sorry, that's where I was born, Westchester, Pennsylvania. Eastchester, New York. And the question really, what we were just talking about, Mary, before the break, comes back to, I think, a lot the same question that a lot of us ask ourselves. She says, look, I've got a big gain in Vanguard Healthcare Fund. If you own anything in healthcare, XLV as an ETF, or you own Vanguard Healthcare, you've done extremely well. It's been an outperforming sector now for years. Even if you've just held Vanguard total stock market over the last 5-6 years, we've had a tremendous run-up in the S&P 500, in the Dow. So you're sitting on gains. Well, we've got a bond market that's paying not a whole lot. We've got a stock market that's back to a high, and we're all worried about corrections. So what does Mary from Eastchester, what do you do? And I go back to, remember, there's only so many things we can control when we're investors. The one thing that was very difficult to do correctly over and over again, not that you can't do it once or twice, and that's, I think, the part of the conversation that gets lost about market timing. Timing the market any given period of time isn't necessarily impossible. You make one good call, but the question is, can you make two good calls in a row? And really the question, can you make three and four and five? And that's when you get into a scenario where if you're going to be in and out and tiptoeing between the raindrops, or you're tiptoeing back and forth between invested and then uninvested and then invested again, that's when you end up inevitably making not just little mistakes, we're talking huge mistakes that ultimately cost you a lot of money. So the strategy that I look at is I say, I can't perfectly time things in this market, in the equity side of the market. It's difficult on both sides. The stock market, bond market, the alternative market, the alternative income market that we talk about a lot here on the show. But what isn't hard to predict, and what is very, let's say, very steady and predictable, is thinking about your overall corpus or nest egg or whatever you want to call it, and looking at the predictable piece, which is the income piece. So Mary should look at her the dividends that she gets from, let's call it, some of her Vanguard funds. And let's say she owns utilities, and let's say she owns some in the fixed income side of the world, or the bond market. And if that all adds up to, let's say, a yield of 3.5% or 4.5%, which is very doable in the environment we're in, then that's the piece that'll stay steady. And then, of course, you're going to have some, you're going to have fluctuating. So you're going to have your principal fluctuate. But I want Mary to worry less about the fluctuating value. And I want her to understand and focus more on the generation of the steady cash flow. And that's really, to me, that's thinking of it from that perspective is really the only real answer to this. And this really goes back to something I've been thinking about for months now. And I always think about investor psychology and investor behavior, because it's a huge part of what happens when it comes to the outcome of our money. It's really one of the most important factors. And it goes back to, and I don't know, I think I'll certainly write a blog about this, but I think it'll go something like this. Why is investing for humans so hard? I think about it over the last couple of months, because we've had these really difficult headlines. We've had Greece that just won't go away. And we continue, we have a deal now in Greece, and they have a third bailout, and it's for close to $100 billion, and they're probably not going to leave the euro now anytime soon. So they have a lifeline, and their banks will reopen, and people will be able to get cash again, and the panic will subside, and the protests will probably go away, at least until they have to do their fourth bailout in 3 or 4 more years, or however long it takes. But it goes back to, we live in a very scary world. And particularly when we look at, and I get this question, I've gotten this question a lot, and I know people have been nervous over the last couple of months, because I talk to a lot of investors, whether it's on the radio, through email, all over the country, because of the book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. And then, of course, here in real life, I'm a real life advisor, and I am every day talking to families about their own finances and their investments, and trying to make sure that they can make money work for them and stay in retirement and get to retirement early. Those are all the things that I'm doing in the real world. And in the real world, managing your finances and managing your investments, especially as the dollars get bigger and bigger, it gets scary. And this has been a scary couple of months. And I know from the phone calls that I get and the concern that I have from real life people and families, that people are just they're very, very scared. So the world is scary. Politics are scary. Wars are scary. Terrorists are scary. Disease is scary. And we're programmed as individuals or humans to recoil, if you will. And a recoil is a dramatic reaction to something, like a red hot stove. If you touch a red hot stove accidentally, you don't just slowly or calmly take your hand off the stove. You jump back. If you pick up a rock, and I remember this as a kid in Pennsylvania, we used to have these rock walls that my dad and I would build, or he'd do most of the work, of course. I'd stand around. But we would build these terraces of rock walls, and in those rock walls lived snakes after a while. And I remember as kids, we'd lift up these big rocks with the chance that there's a snake under there. And once in a while, every 100th stone we'd lift up, there'd be a copperhead there. And when you lift up a stone and you see a copperhead staring at you, you don't just slowly walk back, you jump back. And it's that's the way we're programmed, and it's survival. We don't just, it's a good thing that that's how we react, to save our own lives. And for a lot of people, it's a very similar mechanism when it comes to handling your investments or your money. You see Greece, and you see riots, and you see lines at ATM machines. You immediately think, you see banks that are closing, you immediately, or your natural reaction isn't just to calmly say, oh, okay, let's pull back a little bit here. Maybe we'll rebalance a little bit. You immediately think, fundamentally, you think, I got to go to cash. I got to go to cash immediately. So that's the reaction that we have that's internalized in our brains. And so we don't say, oh, well, my stocks are down, but my bonds are up and they're safe or they're steady. And when CNN and Fox and CNBC, they get all juiced up with a riot watch or a calamity. I love these. I'm going to call this a calamity counter. A week, not long ago, the NYSE shut down for a couple of hours. Immediately, CNBC put up a clock. The calamity counter. How many minutes since the NYSE has been shut down? So you've got all these emotions. They come up and all these fears and all these worries. And I get this question. You thought the same thing. Wes, how can things possibly go well? I look at our world and I look at our debt. I'm an American. I'm looking at our world. I'm looking at the debt. And then I look at our government and I say, how can things go well? And those are all fair points. But guess what? We're not investing in our politicians. We're investing in making money despite our politicians. And I want to give you a totally different perspective than I typically do. I'm a big macro, big picture guy. I studied macroeconomics at UNC, and that's always kind of been my focus. That's how I think. But I think when you really look at how scary the world is as an investor, we go through times like we've gone through in the last couple of months, you've got to look at it, you've got to zoom in completely and look at an example of a company that's so embedded and ingrained in the fabric of the economy of the world that it almost can't go away. And that's what starts to give me some peace of mind. And I want to talk about that straight ahead. Of course, we'll go to the phones, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Straight ahead, news, weather, traffic, and more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. Reminder, tomorrow morning, starting with Scott Slade, 4:30 a.m., WSB Carathon benefiting the Aflac Cancer Center for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're talking about how scary this world is and a different economic view or a different perspective, I think, that can help you understand how to not freak out about every headline that comes across the board, because it will inevitably do that. The headlines are not going away, and they continue to be scary no matter what. So I think of the world as from a big picture perspective, macro versus micro. And I talk a lot about the economy, and I grade the economy on a scale of 0 to 24. 24 is best, 0 is the worst. Recently, I gave it a grade of about 18, 19. So it's called a B+. But sometimes when you're zooming out, it brings into light all of the sore spots that we're forced to invest around. And the world is so enthralled with anxiety that zooming in on a particular example might really help. And that's what I want to talk about at the bottom of the hour here. I'm going to zoom into a company that gives me a whole lot of comfort so that there are a couple of different company examples. I'll use one in particular that helps me not lose sleep at night. And that's, I think, a really important variable when it comes to you being an investor successfully over the long run. So we'll do that straight ahead. News, weather, traffic first, right here on News 95.5 and AM 750. You're listening to Money Matters, WSB.
WSB. Now back to Wes Moss for the money and investing advice you need.
Okay, welcome back to Money Matters. We're right out of the gate here. The number in the studio for your questions and how it relates back to the world that's just a little less scary, at least this week, but it's been very scary over the last couple of months. And I know that because I get a lot of phone calls and questions and emails if people are concerned, I mean, there is a real genuine concern about what's happening in the world. And we are creatures of emotion. We are wired from our very DNA to run from trouble and protect ourselves. And that's why it's so difficult to be a good investor, because we run from trouble when, in fact, running from trouble is typically not what you want to do as a good investor. Or at least it creates this cycle of or pattern of buying when prices are too high and then selling when prices are too low. And this vicious cycle ends up making most people pretty bad investors, or at least not even coming close to matching what happens over time in markets, meaning most investors lag way behind what the indexes do. In fact, a lot of mutual fund managers we know lag behind what the indices do. And there was a story this week in Barron's that talked about the struggles that a company like Procter & Gamble is having. And they're struggling, not as a company to survive, they're just struggling to grow, which is a really good problem to have. And a lot of big companies get to that point where they struggle to grow because they're already so big. How do you move the needle when you're a company that's already doing billions of dollars in sales? Like Apple, as an example. They're selling, a million iPhones a day. How does a new product compete with that? You get a startup product like the Apple Watch. It's going to take a very long time. Even if it's a $1 billion business, it's still not going to move the meter in a company doing hundreds of billions of dollars in revenues. And that's the issue that big companies run into. And this is the current problem with a company like Procter & Gamble. They're not struggling to survive. Right now, they're just struggling to grow, and which is not the worst problem in the world. And I see this getting resolved time and time again in big global companies. But part of, I've been thinking of this as an example to help you understand how to get through difficult markets. And it all kind of crystallized to me this weekend reading this negative article about how Procter & Gamble is down 6% of the year. I mean, God forbid. It's hurt by the strong U.S. dollar because 60% of its sales are outside of the United States. It's having difficulty boosting sales because they're already doing $83 billion a year when it comes to sales. And there are plenty of periods in history where companies like this, or this particular company, has struggled to grow ferociously, but they have no problem surviving at all. And herein lies the importance of why I bring up what plenty of analysts right now may call mediocre stock. It's not a mediocre company. It might be a mediocre stock right now, but not a mediocre company. And that's why zooming in to look at not just, typically I talk about the big picture around the world, how scary the world is, and all the landmines that we need to navigate in order to be decent investors. And when you zoom out, you're always going to see all the problems around the world. That's fine. But sometimes, and this is what I'm getting at here about zooming into a company like Procter & Gamble, is that you understand how we're not necessarily... So think of the big problem. The big problems are that, we have too much debt in America. I get that. We have Washington and politicians that are, you may want to say, an atrocity. And you say, Wes, look at our debt and look at how bad our government is. And look at how much distrust we have for them, and how a lack of faith in our own government. And those are all fair points. But guess what? We're not investing in our politicians. We're investing and making money despite those politicians. And that gets me into this example of one particular company to help you understand how investing is really not just for growing money. Of course, that's why we invest to begin with, but it's really, in some cases, it's a wonderful way to store money and protect money. Even though you might think it's on a volatile day or a volatile week or a volatile month, and you call me and you say, Wes, my goodness, I'm down 2%. The world's ending. Well, I understand that part of it is difficult to go through, and that's the reaction we have as investors. Remember, we don't just think of, and I was using this example earlier, when we touch a hot stove, you don't just slowly step back from the hot stove, you jump back. And the same thing happens to investors. As soon as we see something really bad on television, our reaction to jump back is to just, go to cash. I want to get out of it. I want to go away from the market. Then I'll get back in eventually when things are rosy. And that creates this terrible cycle of buying at the wrong times and selling at the wrong times. So let's zoom into a company that, because again, remember, we're not investing in our politicians. We're investing in companies, and we're investing in people who run those companies. And in a case like Procter & Gamble or a company like Coca-Cola, we're investing in very smart people that run these companies. Hundreds of thousands of very smart people all over the United States and all over the world that run divisions and division after division of these big companies as if their entire families, finances, and livelihoods depend on it. Because guess what? They do. You ever meet somebody from Coca-Cola or Procter & Gamble that isn't pretty darn impressive? Ever meet somebody like that? The answer is no. So let's zoom in to how remarkably entrenched in the global economy, and all over, not just the U.S., but globally, a company like Procter & Gamble really is. They're so woven into the fabric of the economy that they're not going away. And they're not going away anytime soon. And they're not going away anytime in the next century. Yes, their price is going to go up and down. But they are too much a part of the economic makeup of the world and our own daily consumer DNA of our lives to go away. And that's what gives me great comfort to own companies that are like this or like P&G. P&G is just one example. Remember, they're going to cover beauty and soap and hair and skin and babies and feminine products and healthcare products. And they're going to cover fabric care. Hey, we got to wash our clothes. Health care. And this is one company that is going to do this in a lot, in a very integrated way. And that's why it's so difficult for them to ever go away. So we think of investing as a place, you know, put my money in a stock or company and I want it to grow. That's the only reason we would invest, correct? But sometimes in times of strife, it's helpful to think about, I'm investing not just to grow, but really to store of my capital. Think of, again, think of yourself, and again, maybe this is zooming out again, but think of yourself as a really wealthy foreigner, and you're a Saudi prince, and you've got billions of dollars. Where do you really want to put your money? Or you're a Chinese billionaire. Where do you really want to put your money? You want to put it here. You want to put it here in the United States. You want to put it here in brands or global companies around the world. You don't want to just sit it in your home country that has an unstable government, that has questionable laws. You want to put it in a place that has a rule of law like the United States and companies that are integrated not just in America, but all over the globe. And that's why guys like Warren Buffett have done so tremendously well as they continue. They look at these companies like Wells Fargo and Walmart and Coca-Cola and Procter & Gamble, which is, by the way, 4% of Buffett's portfolio, and U.S. Bancorp and Costco and Visa and Phillips 66 and Chicago Bridge and Iron. These are some of the top holdings of Warren Buffett. I'm not telling you to go run out and buy all these companies, but I'm telling you that this is an example of how an investor like Buffett does this. You look at a big rich investor like Prince Alweed, Bin Tali, who's always on CNBC, who's effectively a Saudi prince. Where does his money go? It goes to big global brands like Citigroup. That's where he has his money. Twitter, the Four Seasons. Four Seasons ain't going anywhere. So now this guy's called he's the Arabian Warren Buffett. And where do you put he puts his money? In big multinational U.S. brands. Apple, Walt Disney. He owns Procter & Gamble again. So let's go back to this one. Let's again, I'm zooming in here and I'm looking at one particular company. And I want you to understand how unbelievably integrated it is in the fabric of everything that we do economically and why it's not going away. First of all, you get it. This is one example. And over time, I'll give you more examples of this. But P&G is the first one that always comes to mind. But you've got to really understand some of these mechanics to understand why it's not going anywhere. First of all, it's been around since 1837. It's almost 180 years ago. $84 billion in revenue and a $15 billion annual operating profit or income, annual operating income, $15 billion. They have had as many as 180 brands. Part of their strategy today, part of the reason the stock's kind of languishing a little bit, is that they're consolidating a lot of their underperforming brands. So they have a business where they have their top, call it their top 30 or 40 brands that do 90% of the business, and they've got another 100 plus brands that don't really add a lot to the bottom line. So what are they doing? They're going from 180 brands down to 80, but still 80 brands around the globe. They own 23 of those brands, by the way. 23 different, completely different business lines do over $1 billion in sales. They have another 14 business lines that do $500 million or more in sales. They're in 80, they have locations, and they operate. They don't just sell, but they operate in 80 different countries. Their brands are in 180 different countries. So think about how unbelievably blanketing the world they are. 800 scientists in Asia. They've got 60 years they've been in Latin America. They've been in Europe since 1930. Nearly every family in the United States has at least one Procter & Gamble brand. The average U.S. consumer in America, 300 plus million people, spend at least $110 a year in Procter & Gamble. And these and the brands, almost all of their billion-dollar brands, you know Bounty, and you know Braun, and you know Charmin, and you know Crest, and you know Dawn, and you know that they sold Duracell, and they own Gain, and they own Gillette, and they own Head & Shoulders, and Mach 3, and Olay, and Oral-B, and Pampers, and Tide, and the list just keeps going on and on and on. Prilosec, OTC, for those of you with indigestion, Tampax, Old Spice. The bottom line here is that as long as hair continues to grow and babies continue to be born and people want to smell good because they have deodorants and fragrances, Procter & Gamble is going to be here with us. And the bottom line on that is that if you're ready to react and go to cash because of a headline and the world seems scared, remember that as long as you're investing in multiple areas like in companies like a Procter & Gamble, remember that the tide is always towards profitability and more profitability every single year, no matter what, because we have hundreds of thousands of smart people working in that direction. So barring a nuclear war, these are the places that we can store our money and over time grow our money and not lose sleep about it. And that's what I revert back to when the world gets scary, is that we've got lots of companies around the world that are domiciled here in America that are just doing just that every single day. And they've been doing it for, in this case, almost 200 years. And that's going to go on for another 50 years or another 100 years. All right. You've been listening to Money Matters. And we've got trivia prize pack coming up here. But stay tuned for more news, weather, traffic straight ahead. Then more Money Matters here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
In the afterlife. Well, of course, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Now you make the scene. Just a tremendous week, of course. Grease Season 3, Episode 12. After all that, we won't reform. We won't comply. We vote against austerity. We vote against more bailouts. We won't do it. But now that my ATM withdrawals are limited and I can't get money out of the bank, you know what? Maybe it's okay. It's okay. We give. That's about how it went in Greece last week, and markets around the world loved it. Greece gets another bailout, this time a little less than $100 billion. And for now, this disaster of an economy is going to stay in the euro. Greek parliament approved the deal. Germany's lower house approved the deal, subject to review, of course, and debate over the next several weeks to get the exact details. So we hear more about Greece than we do Google, which added $65 billion this week, by the way, to the market cap. Dow for the year, or for the week, for the year, year to date, up 1.4%. Whoa, all that to get 1.4%. S&P a little better than that, 3.2, up 2. Most of that came this past week, though, up 2.4% on the reprieve from Greece. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Me and the Money Matters team, WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com, right here, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.